Also, rapidly changing demographics, people movement across geographies. Now, today, people are moving around. Going abroad, going to on-site is very, very common today. Within the whole country, within our own country, from a place like Mumbai where we are, to go to any other place, it becomes very easy. People are moving because it is work-related. And we are going at shorter times and coming back faster also and getting work done. Rapidly changing demographics and increasing disparity between highly educated employees and low-wage employees. This is again happening now. Highly educated IT engineers, PhDs and all on one side, and we need operational people. Those people are required to do repetitive jobs. So they may be very low paid. And because they are low paid, they don't have affiliation. They may leave the company and go fast. Attrition is very high. Take a logistics company, take a company which is a BPO. This is quite happening. With the advent of Internet of Things, Big Data and such state of fine art, fine data collection, mapping and profiling of people and perspectives are getting more accurate. Hence, HRM department needs to develop skills to tap on such information of individuals. In a nutshell, this bullet point is telling us today, data or information about people is available at fingertips. This is coming out of what we call it as a people profiling. You and I are with the social media, Twitter, Facebook, WhatsApp. Now all these things are being, the data is being collected by different agencies, and they map you, they know your behavior, and they also can predict your behavior. Now this being the case, the HRM department needs to take itself into this particular zone and also needs to increase its skills to use this type of a facility available. HRM is into a challenging role of hiring employees in an ever-changing environment of business driven by high-tech information-based working. It is a very tough call today for HR people. You hire a person, you don't know when the person is going to be staying there or not. It's not about juniors alone. It's at all levels it's happening because people are getting offers and offers and offers, and so people keep on leaving. Not a good phenomenon in terms of human behavior, but it's happening. This slide talks about nature of training and development. Training involves assisting a person for enhancing his efficiency and effectiveness by exposing him to more knowledge and practices. More knowledge and practice of what? Of whatever he knows, his domain area, that is training. Efficiency means input output. Effectiveness means I have to see that the input is kept as minimum and output is optimally high. Both are important. For an organization, training and development forms the backbone of an organization's growth in today's business scenario. Why? Because unless they train and develop people, the organization cannot be competitive. Year after year, the organization has to go for a higher top line sales and bottom line profits. So they need to have a training and development. It's an investment. Although training is not the core of an organization development, it's a crucial function of organization development. OD is a big area of an organization wherein we are developing people en masse for a huge change process. Okay. Now, training is not the core of it as what is mentioned in the slide, but training adds a very crucial leverage to that. What are we doing in a training? We are changing your mindset. You are changing your mindset. The trainer is facilitating you to change it. The trainer is not bullying you. The trainer is making conditions and making you understand that if you don't change, these are the things that are happening. Then you realize the willingness to change and you change willingly. When you change willingly, you are one of the people in the OD program, organic development program, who is able to take yourself to the next level with the other group of people. That is how a very big automobile giant in India changed from one level to the next level by going through a huge OD churning. And that brought about a major change in the mindset. When the mindsets of people change, which is what training is addressing, training and development, then the OD takes place much more faster. Training is different from education, that too formal education, in that it focuses on development of new behaviors. I don't have to explain this, I've already done it in the earlier part of the session. In training, the focus is more on how and why, underline how and why, of what is learnt. People know, you can know about the car's function by going to the Google. Everything about the car you'll know, but you will not know car driving unless you sit there and know the how and why of the clutch and the accelerator and the brake, etc. and that comes with constant practice. Training mein you are telling, focusing people on the how and why, getting curious on the how and why, becoming a part of it by action. Practice is action, not theory. It's not gyan, it's about actual practice. While education is formulated with a framework and a syllabus, training is not created that structured. I want to slightly add to this. A training does have a syllabus. I have to create a syllabus before I give a training program. But the syllabus is not sacrosanct. It is not sacred that I have to follow the syllabus only. No. I may say session 1 I'm going to do this, session 2 I'm going to do this, session 3 I'm going to do this. I may give it to the company. But when a training is going on, there is what is called as a situational flexibility. What is situational flexibility? I realize that I need to give this input to give the end result with the company is expecting. So I may slightly alter the way of action. So whereas when you talk about education, if you talk about a syllabus of a subject, it is structured. This subject itself is a structured subject. That is education. Application of this subject into real life is training. Okay? Further down the line, training follows the principles of water logic. My favorite term, water logic. What's the water logic? You pour water, it goes in any direction. If there's a resistance, it flows around that. The training needs to get often modified situationally as per human behavioral responses. People who are into training or listening to me, you'll know what I'm talking. Others need to know that a trainer needs to be himself flexible, herself flexible. I assume certain types of behaviors which I expect in the training hall. But I may get new behaviors which I did not expect because I am not nobody is an expert in human behavior. So when new behaviors come, I must know how to manage it, steer it towards the direction to which the company wants. Hence, it follows the principle of water logic. Training and development is a field concerned with organizational activities aimed at bettering individual and group performance. The purpose of training and development is the larger picture. If I'm training XYZ in a group of say 20 people, I must also have the vision to say that this XYZ training has to contribute to the company's group performance in this manner. That should be very conscious. So beyond the training module which I create, I must have this vision. With that, I create the training module. This particular person XYZ is that atomic part of the whole body called the organization. So anything that he or she does is going to impact the company. So to that extent, the training has to be delivered. It goes by many names. There are all jargon in this world of training: employee development, human resource development, learning and development, etc. But each of them have to have a connotation. Properly, you must know. Somebody is going to ask you what is HRD. You must know what it is. In human resource development, I'm developing human resources. In learning and development, which is our subject right now, we are making people go through a learning process, learning of skills, learning of competencies, learning of an ongoing nature, different. So you must know in what connotation you're using it. An add-on slide which says all employees seek to be valuable and remain competitive in the labor market at all times so that they are in constant demand. Is it not fact? You would always like to be felt valuable, isn't it? And you want to be competitive. You should always be having a market value. If you leave a company, you must feel that I have got a market value. When will this come? It'll come only when you have skills which are superior to what others are having. Hence, during the time of recruitment and selection, trained employees have a chance to negotiate, resulting in employers also benefiting by getting the most suitable candidate. What's the message coming to all of you? The message is very simple. Keep learning at a higher rate than the change. I repeat, keep learning at a higher rate than the change. Change is happening. Change is going to happen tomorrow. Can you learn skills of day after tomorrow? People who have got this fire in the belly to do this, they'll always be able to beat. They'll always be valuable. They'll remain competitive. What are the nature of training and development? Whichever type of training is resorted to, the end purpose has to be served of education and transformation. Ultimately, training of 1 day, 2 day, 3 days does not serve any purpose of behavioral change. So when I take a training to a company, I'll tell them, look, I need some few weeks maybe a month, 2 months, 3 months, because after the main module of training is over, you need to do hand holding. I want to be very sure that whatever training I've given is implemented in action, and the person goes from behavior B1 to B2 irreversibly. He or she has gone through a change which is going to be useful for creating a new P2 performance. It's important. No transformation, the training is of no use. For excellent training, usually the cost incurred is high. In recent years, the organizations have resorted to what is termed as trainers through trainees. It's very simple. Companies feel that the expense incurred by hiring an excellent trainer is high because of budgetary considerations. So what they do is they have ingrown trainers within the company. They train people to become trainers. This has got its plus points and negative points. I'm not discussing it right now. At the right time, when we come to that chapter, I'll talk about it. It means select few employees who are sent for training. They come back, debriefed, share and suggest applicant to the team. They in fact act as trainers. That's exactly expansion of the point number two. Organizations need to support training and development activities for a long-term perspective, long-term underlying, not short-term, of retaining employees consistent and enhance performance and company growth. Organizations should consider, in short, training and development as an investment, not a cost. When the company usually goes through a downsizing, when the company goes through bad time, when the sales are not coming, when the business is not picking up, unfortunately, what many companies do is they cut on the budget of the training and development, they stop training and development, which is absolutely incorrect from the company's own point of view. So it's a long-term perspective. Just as you're allocating budget for your buying your stationery, buying your machinery, buying your raw materials, you must allocate an ongoing budget for training and development. Whether the company is into business or no business, you have to see to it that it's going on. Whether the company is into galloping business or recession, they must go through this. At every stage of promotion, there's a need for imbibing behaviors and attitudes that are needed for a new role. I put this point in the slide just to drive home one important thing which was neglected ages ago. As a trainer, I was in touch with a few pharma companies those days. I'm talking about more than a decade and a half back. And I noticed something that, you know, at a sales level, people achieve sales, they become super salesmen, they get promoted to become area managers. But when you become an area manager, you have a different role to play. What's the new role? The new role is also managing other people. The people management skills are not there in you. So I need to give you the people management training also. This is a simple example I've given you. At every promotion, there are new skills to be played, new skills to be had for the new role. So every promotion, there's a need for T&D accompanying the promotion. Now here is a beautiful block diagram. Business environment leads to changes and challenges, learning and implementation, and business excellence. There's a business environment which faces changes and challenges, which can be addressed by learning and implementation, which creates a business excellence, which is keeping you ahead of the rest of your competitors. What's the importance of T&D? Simple points are given there. Optimum utilization of human resources. This is a definition of management. Optimum utilization of available resources. Here we are talking about human resources. I have X number of employees. How best I can use them? Companies make a mistake. You know what they do? They try to keep on hiring people more. Then they throw them out when there is no business. A wrong thing to do. I have 10 people with me. I can make the 10 people work in multiple skilling. Optimum utilization of your resources. Some companies are doing it very well. Development of human resources, growth along with promotion. It's not just a promotion for the sake of a card. From a manager, I become a deputy GM. No. True promotion is where my skills are also promoted. I get new training and I grow. How do I grow? Growth is not about, you know, a salary. Growth is about, you know, I'm handling newer functions. I'm becoming more responsible and I'm going nearer and nearer to the company's vision. That's important. Development of skills of employees, ability, skills and competency. This obviously happens. See, when you go for a training as an employee, you yourself are getting benefited. You may be in the company today, you may not be in the company tomorrow, but consider the benefit that you are getting. As an employee, you go for a leadership training, you leave the company, but that skill remains in you or not. That's what the company does a good to you. increase in productivity, inculcating a sense of team spirit. We are one. Esprit de corps, as we call it. Henry Fayol's 14 principles. Developing and improving health of organization culture and effectiveness. Organization culture. What is a culture? Culture is a collective habits and behaviors, do's and don'ts, which identifies a company as company X and company Y. Corporate culture, we call it, right? So certain corporate cultures are very good brands. An HDFC bank, for example, or maybe a TCS. You know, this is what is organization culture. Do you think the culture is built overnight like that? No. There's a lot of processes. These are some of the things we are talking about. These companies I mentioned, they invest quite a lot on training and development and ensure that their employees are ahead of everything. That's why they are brands. Ongoing brands, not brand today and vanish tomorrow. They've been around for a long time. Developing and improving health of organization culture and its effectiveness, fostering a healthy organization climate among employees, improvement of quality of work and work life, creating healthy work environment. Simple points, I'm not elaborating. Improving health and safety, preventing obsolescence. What is obsolescence? Something has become outdated. To see that something doesn't become outdated by default, I ensure that this doesn't become outdated tomorrow, so I give some inputs today. Right? Improving employee morale. Morale is different from motivation. Morale means what? I'm enjoying this, conducting this lecture. That's morale. It's coming from within me. The process itself is it gives you morale. Morale is process centric, not content centric. What is content? If you pay me so much, I'll feel happy. If you don't pay me so much, I'll feel sad. That is motivation. In morale, it is self-driven. Employee morale results in employee satisfaction, job satisfaction. So increase the morale. Let people find a meaningfulness of coming even on Monday morning to work. That's morale. Creating better corporate image. Obviously, a good training and development means employees are always learning. The company is also growing. So corporate image is very good. Increasing profitability and positive attitude towards profit orientation. Profit is seen as a dirty word by many people. But you must feel good that your company is making profit with a positive attitude. You're not trying to cut anybody. You're having principles. You're having certain types of integrity. Now, you have integrity. You keep on upgrading yourself in skills. Then you make profits. What's wrong about it? You're doing a good thing to society also. Enhancing organization development and thereby increasing the resilience of this change. What is resilience? To be able to absorb the change and go with the change. That is resilience. You should be resilient to things happening. Easy to respond, right? Now we come to emergence of learning and development. How the learning and development paradigm came in? Modern organizations are fighting fit in a highly competitive environment. All of you agree on this? Traditionally, the frequency of training and development used to be quite spread out and more or less considered as events. Training and development used to be like an event. Chalo, XYZ is nominated, you go for training and development. He goes like a baby's day out, 5-star hotel meant one training used to take place, he used to come back, over. There was a training timetable and everything is over. No changes. It was seen as a waste of money, waste of time, long back. With the rapid pace of growth of global economies, changes are too rapid and holding on to competition and staying alive has become a major challenge. Companies want to hold on. Companies want to stay alive. Companies want to be competitive. So if this has to happen, the next point comes into picture. In the context of this training and development has become a continuous process. I've underlined the word continuous process to be adopted by the organization. It's not about today, tomorrow. He has learned it, it's okay, chalo, Java. It's not a syllabus, it's not a qualification, paper qualification. It is a continuous behavioral process. Taking it further, this involves the overall organization, role of the organization. It's not about one department called HR. It's not about one few people from different departments coming. The whole organization should be called as a learning organization. A very important concept. A learning organization is characterized by the resilience to unlearning and relearning. What's a learning organization do? It is with the flow. It learns what is to be done today. It also drops today's learning to learn something new for tomorrow. Continuously does it. That's a learning organization. Top to bottom, not only some people. The directors don't say that you need the learning and you do the learning. No, everybody learns. Hence, TND has assumed a faster frequency, leading to human resources constantly going on learning and unlearning, learning and unlearning, learning and unlearning. along with the learning, the development of the individual and the organization into newer skills and competencies has become a challenge. What's happening today, friends? I'm facing this as a trainer. I go to corporates. I'm training people at all levels, leadership level, middle management level, and also at the function level. Changes are going so rapidly. Whatever I give today may become redundant tomorrow. So I have to structure my learning and development module in such a way that people are able to get the competencies for tomorrow, day after tomorrow also. Certain things I may be talking about may not be relevant today, but take it down, think about it, ponder over it, take interest. Then you realize that the skill today, which you are learning today, may be required day after tomorrow, not even tomorrow. Who expected we are going to have a lockdown in the month of January 2020? Tell me. Who expected that working from home will happen? I, for one, fortunately for me or unfortunately, I've been working from home for ages. When working from home came, many of my friends who are working in industry, they found it very difficult. Then I told them how to do it. Now people have got adapted or not. Had you had that thought earlier as a person, as an organization, that this might happen in the future? Had you prepared your boys, your employees, then they would have not faced the problem which many people faced in the 2 months initially. Now people have got adapted. That's a different issue. Okay? Through the learning and development process, organizations have included human resources as a strategic partner. What is a strategic partner? They have a say in the matter. In L&D, the human resources department will tell the entire management, the operation people, the finance people, all are sitting together that we need to do this, otherwise our company will suffer. There was a time when HR was not a strategic partner. Today, they are strategic partners. The HR can say, if you take this policy, our company will suffer, we'll have manpower issues. And people listen to them now. It wasn't the case long back. Hence, the new avatar of training and development as a change in paradigm, which is called a learning and development. Learning is equal to development. Learning and development is not a buzzword. It's not a jargon. It's a sincere, committed effort by organizations to enhance their human resources into globally competitive drivers. What's the role of an HRM professional in training? Education is mind preparation and carrying out away from the actual working place usually. Training is a systematic development of the attitude, knowledge, skills, pattern of behavior, need for performing a task. Self-explanatory. Development is a growth of the individual in the terms of ability, understanding and awareness. I give you gyan, I give you knowledge. Then I tell you how to apply the knowledge through some exercises. And after telling you to apply it, then I have to ask you, where do you think this exercise might come in the workplace? Simulation. Then go to the workplace and you start applying it. I guide you. Then the whole circuit is complete. Okay? All three are necessary to develop employees to higher grades of jobs, to train new recruits, raise efficiency and standard of performance. From time to time, training meets special needs arising from technical, legal, knowledge, and knowledge needs to change this, achieving through training loop. Technical, legal, and knowledge need changes that is achieved through training loop. From time to time, companies' technicals change. That means that the core business or the business they are doing will evolve into a different level. Legal issues may come. And the training has to ensure that the knowledge needs for this is properly kept in a training loop. When changes take place, the knowledge has to be upgraded accordingly. Training is an investment, not a cost. I keep repeating this often. The return on investment in training is far-reaching and sustaining in the long run. Some companies think, I put so much of money into a training, I don't see any changes in this person. Within 10 days, they're expecting changes. Within 20 days, within 1 month. No. That is why behavioral training needs to have a hand-holding. Changes do take place. The role of the trainer is to ensure that the person is triggered into thinking about self-change. He must learn to change himself. That trigger has to be given by the trainer. Then it's a return on investment. After some time, you'll find that the person is actually changed into what the company is expecting. The HR functioning and in turn training has gone through rapid changes in the recent years. With the paradigm shift development, training is more of a priority and a vital function in the organization. Today, training is as important as production, as important as marketing. It's not given a secondary treatment. Training is being used by organizations to enhance growth in quality. Training facilitates the control of attrition rates through motivation, achievement of professional and personal goals, increasing job satisfaction levels. Being in the era of controlled competition, the role of HR professionals is broader. One, active involvement in employee education. Two, rewards for improved performance. Three, rewards for self-esteem and self-worth. Providing pre-employment and market-oriented skill development. Post-employment support for advanced education and training. And flexible access anytime, anywhere, any location. In short, HR professionals are involved with employees 24/7. Let's put it that way. Okay? Now, author's perspective. It's my perspective which I've included in the book and the slide. Behavioral coach, Odifeth, that's me. While the textual inputs are in line with the academic needs, the reader needs to look at the state of art of how training and development has evolved into a well-defined, strategically driven set of processes. While the textual inputs are in line with the academic needs, the reader needs to look at the state of art of how training and development has evolved into a well-defined, strategic driven set of processes. What do I mean by this? Read this book, whatever we have written. This particular chapter is talking about whatever it is talking about. But please be in touch with what is happening as state of art. What is going on in today's world? At the time of writing the book, it is X. But as the days progress, as the years progress, see whether something new has come. Be in touch with that. The accountability of training and development has increased in recent years and is no more considered trivially. It's not taken lightly. The emphasis is on skills development and flexible behavior. People have to be, today the emphasis is on how flexible you are in your behavior, how much of skills you're willing to develop. Get in touch with this when you see people around you. Watch how the companies are going through this. The reader needs to revisit training and development by studying live cases of organizations, both manufacturing and service sectors, where the approaches are different. If you take the same training, leadership training in a manufacturing unit, a car manufacturing unit, for example, or in a service sector like a bank, both of them are having the same title, but the approaches are different because the needs are different. So don't go by the title, go by what is being offered and what is being expected. With this, my dear friends, I conclude this session. Thanks for listening to me. Wish you all the best.